Well, welcome. I can't guarantee anything. Sorry. Last Sunday, I was like, today's Saturday or Sunday? Sunday night service before Thanksgiving. Hooray. You guys ready for Thanksgiving? Okay, only one more week to get there, right? And oh my gosh, I remember when I was a student, it was like the worst week. So, I'm praying for you, okay? But glad we're able to be here tonight. I was just driving up tonight and just thanking God for this community and this family and feeling like these are my people. And it just got me excited to share with you guys, to have an opportunity to speak, and because I love the word. And for anybody who has been around me or been in conversation with me at all, over these last couple of weeks as we've been talking about Galatians, hopefully it's been pretty clear that I love the book of Galatians. I love it. It is something that God has used on a number of times to just speak such truth in my life. It's been challenging at times. It's been hard. It's been good. It's been eye-opening, and I've just grown to love Paul's words to the Galatians because I feel like they're so pertinent and relevant to where we are today. So one more thing that I wanted, well, Robbie and I wanted you guys to know. I know a couple weeks, if you were here, we announced that we're expecting Poffspring. Little play on our last name. In April, and we just found out on Friday that it's a girl, so that's exciting, but let's go ahead and pray, and we'll jump in, all right? God, thank you so much for who you are. God, for being a voice that spoke creation into being. God, that gave breath and life to our persons. God, who spoke every word of the scripture that we have. And this word, God, it not only reveals who you are, but it reveals who we are in you. And I just thank you, Lord, that the more that we engage with it, the deeper that we dive into your word, God, you just continue to unveil new things to us. You continue just to peel back the layers of our understanding so that we can get to your heart, come to know you more. And God, that we would be changed and transformed because of it. So God, I pray that you speak tonight as we look at your word. I pray that you would just continue to carry us through this last week of Galatians. God, that we would be listening for you and that we would be receptive to hear the things that you want to speak to us tonight. We love you, God. We pray this in your name. Amen. So, we started this series about 7 weeks ago. Feels like forever, but We've done it. We've come to chapter 6, and we have arrived at the end. We started off in week 1, where after all of his hard work, Paul was astonished. I love the way that Steve said it when he talked about it. Paul is astonished. I don't know if you guys are here, but he got really loud, and that was the moment he got really loud, and it was like, okay, I get it. He's astonished, okay? But Paul was astonished at the Galatians turning away from the true gospel and how quickly that had happened. We talked about this group of Jews who had been following the way, following the law, and they were trying to reconcile how the law operated now that the Messiah had come. And so they felt like they still had to live according to the regulations of the law in order to be right with God, even though Jesus had come. And so these Jews, they followed behind Paul as he continued to go from town to town to town, spreading the news of the gospel. And these Jews would follow behind, and not that they were trying to take what Paul had said and completely throw it away. They were trying to make it complete and trying to say, Paul is right. And these other things you also need to be doing, because they were kind of working through this struggle of, what do I do now with this law that we've been following for thousands and thousands of years, now that the Messiah had come? And so as they were spreading what life with God now looked like, they confused the Galatians. And so Paul wrote this book to them in order to help them get back on track. And then when we looked at Galatians 3, we talked about how we are justified by God because of our faith in Jesus as the Messiah, that only he is the one who will redeem us back to God. That though doing good things is something that God calls us to, it's not what causes us to be justified before God. And then we continued on and we looked at how the Jews dealt with the fact that Christ had come and completed the law. And that in this, Paul showed the Galatians that every person now came under this covenant, came under and came, became a part of the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. And because of this new reality, the Gentiles, who are anybody not ethnically Jew, which for most of us in here would include us, right? I'm not ethnically Jew. Family's from Holland, I think, maybe. But that these Gentiles were called not to go back to the way that they had once known to follow God. And then Steve brought us back last week into Galatians 5, and I love Galatians 5. I just love it so much. I love the words of it. I'm like, this is a lifeline for me. So there's a part of me that when we talked about who was teaching what, I was a little sad that I wasn't teaching Galatians 5. But it was probably better, because I think I would have gotten caught up in my own love of the book and the chapter instead of actually like digging into the things that maybe would have been helpful. So Steve did, and he did a great job, and he talked about love and he talked about freedom. And that in our freedom, we have this freedom to live into the things of the Spirit, and that when we live into the things of the Spirit, what comes out of it is the fruit of the Spirit. And when we live into the things of the Spirit and we bear the fruit of the Spirit, it allows us to express our freedom in love. So here we are, like I said, Galatians 6, this last chapter of the letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians. Well done. Give yourself a high five. We've made it. Yay. Good. And the passage that we're going to look at tonight, it stands out as this punctuation mark of the entire statement that Paul has been making to the Galatians through this entire book. It not only emphasizes and reiterates different points that Paul had already made at previous points in the letter, but it also refers to words that he's already written, and even more so, the heart of his message. He touches back at different points of this letter, almost as if he were saying, guys, remember when I said this? This is important. This is what I want you to hear. These are the things that I want you to be aware of. And if you take nothing away from this letter, this is the stuff that I want you to get. And I feel like there's not many letters, and there's not many words to this letter to the Galatians that if Paul went through the trouble to go back and reemphasize some things, it's probably something that he thought, this is important. And that if the scripture is this word of God that is given, that crosses time, it crosses culture, it crosses experience and circumstance, that if this is what we have, Paul's word that he reemphasizes and reiterates are probably something that we should be paying attention to as well. And so when I think about this statement that he's made through the entire letter, and I think about this passage that we look at tonight, this punctuation mark isn't simply a period. It's not just the dot at the end of the sentence that says sentence over. If it were, I think it would tether us to a checklist, something definite, something that we just need to, you know, go through and mark off. And once we've done those things, we're good to go. I don't think that's what it is. I think it's this exclamation point. Because this passage And this book has been filled with passion. And it's something that he just keeps saying time and time again. And not only is it filled with passion, but it carries with it a forward motion, something that moves us forward along with it. And so Paul's conviction in his words propel us to take hold of something. And not only to take hold of it, but to actually do something with it. So if you want to go ahead and open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, or your apps, or it's going to be up on the screen, so you really shouldn't miss it by one of our ways. We're going to start in chapter 6, verse 7. Don't be deceived. God can't be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. I'm wondering if we're hearing the heart of Paul's message here. Because it reminds me when he says, don't be deceived. He's getting loud and in your face. Don't be deceived. It reminds me of Paul's word when he said, I am astonished at how quickly you have turned away from the true gospel. And he goes on to say, you foolish Galatians, I fear for you. I feel like somehow I've wasted my time on you. Those are pretty strong words right there. I think if we had a friend come into our lives who said those things of, we've been in this relationship, we've shared life together, we've shared truth with one another, and then all of a sudden they come to you because maybe you've stumbled, maybe you haven't made the best choices recently, and they're just like, have I just wasted my time on you? Is my friendship with you a waste? What have I been doing with my life? I think that would sting a little bit. But what Paul is doing here, and this is something that I can just very easily visualize. Have you ever had the urge to just grab somebody by the shoulders and just shake them and just look at them and tell them something like, hello, I want you to get this and hear what I'm saying. I want you to listen to me. And you just want to shake them and speak so clearly so that hopefully by the shaking, I don't know how the shaking actually helps somebody to get what you're saying. But somehow we think that it does. But it's just like, he just wants them to hear it. He wants them to know. And he wants this light bulb to go off and for something to just click and something to change. And that's exactly what Paul is doing here. He is so passionate. And he is so deep in his conviction, the conviction that he experienced of his message. And he's so adamant that the Galatians would be clear in their understanding that salvation only comes through the sacrifice and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That he is telling them to wake up, open your eyes, don't miss this. And so when he says, don't be deceived, he's returning back to the heart of what he's already said to the Galatians. But here it kind of begins to shift a little bit. You know, he says, I'm astonished. What are you doing here today? And he begins to shift a little bit here to a little bit of a forward motion. He begins alluding to the future and what is yet to come, that we would not only hear what he is saying, but that we would hold on to it. And that the true gospel would become such reality and truth that nobody could pull the wool over our eyes. And I think that this wool that I'm talking about is, you know, this message that the Jews came with behind him. And I believe they had no malicious intent in their words. I think they said, this is what we need to do in order to make this gospel really complete and to be right before God. I don't think that they were trying to just come in and distract and deceive and be like, Paul's really wrong. He doesn't really know what he's talking about. So we're just going to go in this direction. I think even this well-intended wool is still wool. And Paul wanted this truth of the gospel to become so ingrained, to be so rooted and established in their lives that regardless of what came and what other voices they had surround themselves with, that nothing could pull the wool over their eyes. He says, God can't be deceived. God can't be mocked. Nobody can pull the wool over God's eyes. And throughout this whole letter, Paul has been trying to get them and us to see that we can do that sometimes. We can allow these things to come in and distract us from what is right and correct thinking. So whether it's like these Galatians and it's a list of to-dos that we think qualify us as worthy and gain us some righteousness, or something like distractions that are offered by the people around us, the people that we live life with. You know, it's the sense of competition or being the life of the party. These distractions that people say, if you just did this, even just a little bit of it, it'll make you feel better. It'll bring more fulfillment to your life. And it can even be a negligence of our own. If it's one of these three things or even something else, you know, that we invite into our lives or that we just offer ourselves to, we can often find that we have been burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And a couple years ago, I actually found myself in that place. How fun. I believed I was running a good race, the race that Paul had talked about in Galatians 5. But I felt like I was lacking something as I was trying to engage with God, as I was trying to experience him. You know, I was doing these things. I was reading scripture. I was spending time worshiping. I was listening to teachings. And I just felt there was some sort of disconnect. I was giving myself, God, I'm available. And I was just like, nothing. Not feeling anything here. Maybe something here and there. But just overall, it wasn't this like, yes, this is so good. I didn't understand what this disconnection was. And at the time, I was reading through the book of Galatians. And I felt like, as I was reading it, God clearly and gently, he spoke to me. I was reading Galatians 5 when Paul said, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you? And in that moment, I realized me. I had cut in on myself. Felt like God was saying, Crystal, it's you. It's nobody else around you that is trying to distract you and pull you away. It's you that is cutting in on the good race that you were running. And I feel like he just graciously revealed that I had let busyness and pride kind of crowd into my life. Because I had just gone through this really rich season of connection and relationship and community and growth and learning and all this kind of stuff with God. And it was amazing. And I just rode that wave. And it was a big and it was a beautiful wave, and I was just coasting on it. And over time, because I was neglecting to sow into the Spirit and pouring into my relationship with God, what I was really choosing was to allow my relationship to grow idle. I would be thinking, you know, I've read the scriptures, I've experienced you, God. I get what you're saying to me. Like, I get what your scriptures say. I had just read the whole Bible, and I was like, I get this. And it was awesome. Let me tell you, if you haven't read the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, it can be a little tedious path sometimes, but there is so much richness in the story of God and his people. But I felt like, God, I get what you're saying to me. I understand this. And I started living in this mentality of, I'm good. I got this. I can do this. I felt like, you know, we're going. Everything is good. I'm just going to keep on going because nothing is rocking the boat at this point. And so let's just stay here. Let's just remain in this place because it's really actually kind of nice after all of this, like, ah, I need you type emotions. You know, I tell him, you've already done so much. You've been so faithful. I'm just going to carry what we did together, and that's going to be the way that I keep going. And this sense of pride started creeping in, and the fact that I needed constant relationship with God. You know, looking in from the outside, you could look into my life and see everything was going well. It was like by a lot of standards of America, of college students, of everything. People in this room, you could see I'm married. That's good. It's going well. Yay. I was serving in the church and I was fulfilling my roles there. So I was good there. Check that off the list. So you could look into it and say, Crystal's doing her stuff. She's living life. Nothing's crazy. She's not going off the deep end. And so she's worshiping and she's reading the Bible and she's got to have a pretty awesome walk with God right now. But I was letting these things, this busyness, cut in on the fact that I needed God. And so my words were, God, I want you to use me in this. Whatever the this was, God, use me in this. Fill me with your spirit so that I can pour out into others. And I would pray those things and I would want them. I genuinely wanted them. But my actions, on the other hand, would say, but I can really do this. I mean, we've already done this enough. I kind of get what I'm doing, kind of walking through this on a normal basis, having these conversations, being in these places of the church. And so I was like, I can do this. You've equipped me. We're good here. I can do this on my own, and you and I, we can touch base with each other. But in reality, I feel pretty adequate in what I'm doing. And as soon as I was honest with myself in reading Galatians, and as soon as I actually heard and listened to God's voice, I knew that I was feeling this lack because I wasn't living into the fullness of who God had created me to be. And I realized that the fullness is only experienced and lived into through true, full, and complete freedom in Christ. And that only came through this regular community and connection to God. And this new thought wasn't really new, but it really hit me in a profound way. It became such reality and truth and life and breath to me that I was like, I don't want to forget this. I don't ever want to think that I'm in a place that I'm not actually, and that my heart has been turned off. I don't ever want to forget that the only way I'm going to experience this fullness and live into who you have created me to be, God, is by being with you. I never wanted to forget that. So much so that I actually tattooed it on my head. There's a photo. It's a bird. Pretty clear. But this to me just represented freedom. It was this, I've created you to be free. I've called you to be free. Don't let yourself, don't choose to be burdened again by a yoke of slavery, because what I have to offer you is so much richer than what you think you already have on your own. You know, I couldn't cover God's eyes to make him think that we were doing all that we could do, even though I had pretty much distracted myself enough to believe that we were. And the truth is that God won't be fooled by our way of thinking. And from that truth, the reality is that a man reaps what he sows. Paul says in verse 8, he says, the one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. And the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Again, Paul is saying this is important because he's referring back to where we were last week in Galatians 5, where we talked about the fruit of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. And Paul is saying, hey, heads up. The things that you're into, whether you're digging into the things of yourself and the things of your own flesh, or you're digging into the things of the Spirit and the kingdom of God, this fruit, this is what you're going to get. You don't need to walk down that road to figure out how it's going to play out, because I'm telling you, what you sow into, this is what you will get. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing Paul? What we do matters. What we give ourselves to matters. And what we invite and incorporate into our lives matters. We need to open our eyes and be honest with ourselves, surrounding ourselves with the thing of God. Because like I said, it's not that Christ has called us to freedom. It's not that he gave of himself in order that we could be free, so that we could use this freedom to give ourselves to the things of this world. So that we can choose to have these little pleasures that say, well, the most of my majority of my life is good. I only do this one thing. It's not really that big of a deal, because the rest of my life is saying, God, use me in this. God didn't give us freedom so that we could live our lives in that way. And as soon as we begin to see and experience the reality and the truth of that, that what we do now matters for what is ahead, we can actually live into what Paul says next. He says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. Again, this is Paul pointing to what is still yet to come. At the proper time, we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity in the here and the now and the day to day, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And I like the way that King James Version says it. It says, to the household of faith. And as a little side note here, this family of believers that Paul is referring to goes back to what he had already written to the Galatians in chapters 3 and 4, where Paul levels the field between the Jews and the Gentiles and saying, because of what Jesus did in completing the law, everybody is a part of that household. Everybody is among the family of believers. So let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So if you've been keeping along, tracking with us through our look at Galatians, you'll probably notice something a little bit funny here. Throughout this whole letter, Paul has been telling the Galatians to steer clear of this list of to-dos, these things that need to be done in order to remain right with God. Things that they used to, and I love the way that Steve put it last week, to white-knuckle their way to holiness. And now he's saying, he said, don't do that. Don't give yourself to that. Don't be distracted by that. But now he's saying, don't grow weary in doing good. So what do we do with that? I think so much of it comes from what he just said before, that it's through sowing into the Spirit, that from that Spirit, having nothing to do with our own abilities and our own manufacturings and the things that we can conjure up by ourselves, that from the Spirit, this fruit will be produced. And from that fruit, we'll have the energy, we'll have the freedom, we'll have the intention to do these good things. So what is Paul talking about? If we're not supposed to get caught up in these to-dos, what are we supposed to be doing? And I think he answers that for each person in this room, wherever we are with God. I think he answers that clearly in his letter to the Romans. So we're going to move over to Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 6. Go ahead and flip there. It's a couple books before Galatians. Paul says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. And if it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. And when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. I think this next part is going to be a little bit of a gut check for some of us. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. And be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think that you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. You should leave that to the righteous anger of God, because the scriptures say, I will take revenge and I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, and this is our role in this, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. And in doing this, you will reap burning coals of shame on their head. And I feel like he sums it up here in verse 21. Paul says, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. So I just have to ask, one, because this book has been so vital in my life, and God has been so good in the midst of all of it. Then I'm going to ask, what has God been graciously revealing to you as we've been walking through this book of Galatians? Because what we do now matters. And our actions and our intentions, they carry a forward motion. And we will reap what we sow. Are we living our lives in a way where the things that we want for what is ahead are the things that we are living into now? So whatever our doing good looks like, as God in his grace has created us to be unique and individual, giving us different gifts, and he has made us to live in the fullness and the freedom of his gospel, that we would let that take root in our lives and propel us to move forward with passion, and that we would end up finding ourselves with the dirt of the kingdom of God on our hands. Let's pray. God, I thank you for these hard truths at times. God, these things that encourage us to move forward, the things that speak to us, God, the things that you just graciously reveal to us, not to discourage us, but God, to open our eyes and to see that what you have for us is so much better and so much greater and so much more freeing and full than what we can do by our own abilities. I thank you that you call us to that, God, that through the sacrifice of your Son, you made that possible. Father, that our lives would be marked and changed through the words of your scriptures. God, that we would be intent on listening to you and being honest with ourselves, God, because when we come to you with this person that we think you want us to be, and so we kind of, that's what we offer you, God, that's not what you want. You already know who we are. And you want us to come to you
just like that. Honest, ready to listen, even if it's hard. But God, just knowing that you are gracious to walk us through faithfully. And that in the end, our lives would be exactly the things that we've desired to reap. Father, help us to just be aware of where you're moving, how our actions and our words and our intentions play into that. God, to remember that what we do here today and now, God, that matters for what is yet to come. Praise in your name. Amen.